And 47, 29? Why don't we chant 28? Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. A reading from the 10th canto, chapter 10. Titled the Summum Bonum. Summum Bonum is Canto 10. The chapter is titled The Song of the Bee. We're reading verse 28 and 29.
Suruyatam
Kriya
Sandesho
Bhavatinam
Sukabaha
Sukabaha
Yam Adhaya
Gato
Mata
Bhadra
Aham
Bhartu
Rahas
Karaha
Sruyatam Priyasandesho
Bhavatinam
Sukavaha
Yam
Adhaya Gato
Bhadra
Samadhyaga
aham
bhato
rahaskara
shuyatam priyasandesho
bhavatinam
sukavah
yamadhyagato bhadra
aham
bhato
rahaskara
Shuyatam
Priyasandesho
Bhavatinam
Sukavaha
Yamadhyaya Gato Bhadra
Aham
Bhatu Rahaskara
Ladies.
Thank you.
word meaning.
Suyatam.
Please hear.
Priya.
Of your beloved.
Sandeshaha.
The message.
Bhavatinam.
For you.
Sukha.
Happiness.
Abaha.
Bringing.
Yam.
Which.
Adhaya.
Caring.
Agataha.
Have come.
Badraha.
Good ladies.
Aham.
I.
Bharatuhu.
Of my master.
Raha.
Of confidential duties.
Karaha.
The executor.
Translation.
My good ladies, now, please hear your beloved's message, which I, the confidential servant of my master, have come here to bring you. So finally, Uddhava is ready to give the message, and the message comes in the next verse, which I will chant. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bhavatinang Diyoga Me Nahi Sarvatmana Kachit Yata Bhutani Bhuteshu Kam Vai Vagnir Jalam Mahi Tathaham Cha Mana Prana Bhutendaya Gunashayaha. Translation. Supreme Lord said, you are never actually separated from me, for I am the soul of all creation. Just as the elements of nature, ether, air, fire, water, and earth, are present in every created thing, so I am present within everyone's mind, life, air, and senses, and also within the physical elements and the modes of material nature. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the apparently philosophical language of the Lord's statement conceals a deeper meaning. The Supreme Lord was secretly telling the gopis that he, by way of reciprocating their special love of him, was present with them not only as the soul of all creation, but also as their special lover. In this sense of the verse, the word guna indicates the gopis' special divine qualities which attracted Sri Krishna. And the word sarvatmana, which we have here translated in reference to Lord Krishna himself, corresponding to the word me, which is also in the instrumental case, is also understood in the sense of sarvata, or completely. In other words, although in one sense Lord Krishna was absent, he could never be completely absent, since in his spiritual form he is always in the hearts and minds of the gopis. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and other books, Srila Prabhupada has elaborately explained that the reason Lord Krishna separated himself from the gopis was to intensify their love for him, and, as Uddhava noted, to bless other devotees by revealing to them the intensity of the gopis' love. In fact, the Lord was spiritually present with the gopis, since they are all his eternal associates. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further points out that foolish persons will conclude that Sri Krishna's use of philosophical language meant that the Lord was trying to bring the gopis to the point of liberation by explaining basic points of Krishna conscious philosophy. In truth, the gopis are the most exalted liberated souls, and their pastimes with Sri Krishna must be understood with the help of authorized acharyas. When the gopis came for the Rasa dance, Sri Krishna tried to preach karma yoga to them, emphasizing ordinary ethics and morality, but the gopis were beyond that. Similarly, Lord Krishna now offers them jnana yoga, or metaphysical philosophy. But this is also inadequate for the gopis who have achieved spontaneous, unalloyed love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, we've been talking a lot about separation in the last classes. We've also been speaking about the humility of Radharani and the surrender of Radharani. So, separation is a very interesting topic. And, of course, separation is being manifest here in the Bhagavatam, in the lives of the gopis. And after studying this a little bit, one of the conclusions that I came to as to how Krishna pacified the gopis, it wasn't so much what he said, but the fact that they knew he was missing them and thinking about them. That really pacified them. Just like when you're separated and you call the person you're separated from, and you say, "Have you been thinking about me?" Say, "Yes, I'm always thinking of you." Then they're pacified. Because otherwise, it appears that Krishna left and he didn't care. But now, he's sending this message not just to pacify them, but within that message, behind the message, there is a message that I care about you. And beyond that, there is a message that I also miss you. And so, when we look at separation in an external way, it appears that Krishna is a bit heartless. He says, "I'm coming back in a day or two." Right? Is that what he said? "I'll be right back. Just some business to take. I'll be right back." And he doesn't come back. He doesn't keep his promise. So then the question is, how can Krishna do that? And that is so cruel. That there's so many reasons. One of the reasons given here is that he wanted to increase their love. And there are other reasons that given in our Shastra why Krishna didn't come back. He didn't want to go back to Vrindavan because all the demons were going to come to kill him. Jarasandha was going to come. He says, "The inhabitants of Vrindavan, they can't take care of him. I have to be out." And so many other reasons. But one of the things we learn is that it's not just that Krishna is putting the gopis in anxiety. Krishna is equally in anxiety. He's also feeling separation because that's what love means. It's not that just the gopis are feeling separation. Krishna is also feeling it. So no one should think, "Oh, Krishna's cruel. Look what he's done." But he's also crying in separation. Now, as we've been hearing, separation is quite special. And you have this problem when you're reading about separation, you have this word pain, and the word pain keeps coming up, and the word suffering comes up. And then you think, look what Krishna did to the gopis. He's causing them so much suffering, and they're crying. And Uddhava comes to Vrindavan, and there's Radharani, and she's on the ground. She hasn't eaten. She's thin. And she's talking to her gopis and saying, "I don't want to maintain my life. I just want to die. I want to get out of this body. I can't bear the separation." Then again, we think, look at Krishna. He's so cruel. Radharani's ready to die. But only Krishna can save her. Only Krishna can save her. And she's only living just so maybe he can save her. But really, she wants to die. So, I wanted to read some things. Rather than me try to repeat what Prabhupada said, I thought it better I could just read a few things he said. It's quite interesting about the blissful nature of separation. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss in separation, viraha. The emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramchandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequential tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. So that's a point that's going to come up in everything we're reading. And it's an important point, so I'll read a few other things. In Vrindavan, the damsels of Brajabhumi enjoy transcendental bliss in the company of the Supreme Godhead, Krishna. And they feel the same transcendental bliss in separation when Krishna and Balaram leave Vrindavan for Mathura. There is no question of material pains or pleasures for either the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his pure devotees, although they are sometimes superficially said to be distressed or happy. One whose Atmarama is blissful in both ways. Now, in other places, Prabhupada says something slightly different. He says the separation is even sweeter and even more blissful. So that pain, somehow or other, which appears to be pain, is extremely blissful. And then we have one way we can relate to that, which is interesting. As we know, when the Ramayana was being shown in India, basically the whole country shut down to watch it. Right? Isn't that what we heard? The country shut down, right? Everybody, what, Parliament shut down? The whole. If you ever want to attack India, just show the Ramayana again, you know, and then, while everyone's watching. Yeah, that'd be perfect. They all die watching Ramayana. So anyway, But what's going on, and what's the basic theme of Ramlila? It's separation. You think, if separation is painful, why would a whole country want to stop and watch a story about separation? Because there's sweetness in the sadness of separation. There's some kind of rasa there, right? A special taste that brings out a deeper emotion. So this is why Mahaprabhu told us that feelings of separation from Krishna are higher than feelings of meeting. The feelings of love are more intense, which is why Gaudiya Vaishnavas aspire for it. Now, here's something from Rupa Goswami, which is very, very sweet. He says, this is from the Padyavali, if I have to choose between union with Krishna and separation from Krishna, I would choose what? Separation. Because when I am with Krishna, I see only one Krishna. But when I am separated from him, I see Krishna coming toward me from every corner of the universe. Interesting. Because when I'm separated from him, then I see Krishna coming towards me from every corner of the universe. So the meditation in separation is more intense. And one is thinking of one's beloved in every situation. Now, a couple other things I wanted to read. From the TLC, that transcendental separation is so acute that it is actually more ecstatic than meeting. This is a letter, 1968. Kind of interesting that this topic was coming up in devotees' minds. Because Prabhupada, you know, he spoke about separation as the highest, because that's Mahaprabhu's teaching. The devotees had questions. So here's a letter. In the transcendental platform, actually separation is more relishable than meeting. But either separation or meeting, the state is always absolute. Actually, in the spiritual platform, there's no separation, but it is different stages of rasa. So now Prabhupada's saying, there is no separation. It just appears to be. There's a pain of separation, but there is no separation. But it's more relishable than meeting. Interesting. Just a few other things I wanted to read. The feelings from the first canto, the feelings of separation from the Lord is undoubtedly a sorry plight of the devotee, but because it is in connection with the Lord, it has got a specific transcendental effect which pacifies the heart. Such feelings of separation is also a source of transcendental bliss, and it is never equal to contaminated material feelings of separation. So the separation actually pacifies the heart, makes one peaceful. And in the absolute platform, there is no difference of separation and meeting. The separation is also meeting. Rather, in separation, one relishes the loving relationship more tasty. So don't be disappointed that you are separated from me. I am always thinking of you, how you are making progress there, and I am always expecting your letters that you have already opened a center there, and you are working very nicely. So now, this is quite interesting, because as we Prabhupada said, that separation is just a stage of love. So in the stage of progress, you come to bhava, then you come to prema, and then in prema, there's so many stages of love. And feelings of separation is just one stage of love. So it's not misery, it's not unhappiness, it's just an aspect of love. And here Prabhupada said it's a form of rasa. So this is a stage of prema. So it's not something that we can experience. But now here Prabhupada is using the same language in talking about separation from guru, which I find quite interesting. And he's saying in separation, the affection is more intensified and so forth. So I think one of the things that we see Prabhupada doing in his books and his teachings is taking a topic which appears to only apply to the pure devotees, or even the purest of the pure, and then applying it in a broad way. And I had an amazing experience in Vrindavan. I was teaching Nectar of Instruction in the late 90s. I was teaching Bhakti Shastri. Of course, I didn't have a Bhakti Shastri degree, but there was no one else to teach it, so. I don't know. I guess many people have taught without degrees. Yes. So, Vinod Vani was in the class, and she said, you know, there's a book that has all the translations of the commentaries that Prabhupada is using in his purports to the Nectar of Instruction. Would you like to get the book? You can go to Lohi Bazaar and you can get it. And I said, okay. So I got the book. It was one of the most interesting experiences of my life to read Prabhupada's purports and see where he was taking it from. And what I found is that the acharyas would be talking about things which were very internal. Talking about bhava and the sattvika bhavas and the stages of ecstasy and how one thing leads to another. And Prabhupada in his purport was talking about the ecstasy of preaching. And how it was like, you're looking at the purport and you got from that to this. It was very interesting to see it. And there are so many purports that talked about very elevated stages of Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada talking about how we're experiencing the same thing as neophytes by spreading Krishna consciousness. So you may know the conversation where the devotee says, Srila Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there on the planet? And Prabhupada says, how many devotees in ISKCON? Oh, about 1,000. Prabhupada says, then we have 1,000 pure devotees on the planet. So Prabhupada had, you could say, simultaneously two definitions. You say, but Prabhu, you know, in his books it says, Uttama Adhikari, he has no propensity to criticize. He sees everyone as better than him. Yes, okay. And Prabhupada saying, here, one who follows my instructions purely, he's a pure devotee. So you have both these definitions. So now here, Prabhupada brings in the definition of separation to the guru-disciple relationship. And using the same term and the same idea. So, I thought that was very interesting. Now, I taught a class, I taught a workshop on humility, and this duality gets very interesting when you talk about humility, because you get into these ideas of, I'm lower than a worm in stool. So you see a devotee one day, and the devotee looks very unhappy. You say, Prabhuji, you look unhappy, what's the problem? And you say, I'm feeling lower than a worm in stool today. I'm wretched. I have so many faults, so many things wrong with me. And then Bodhi becomes depressed and so forth. But when Krishna Das Kaviraj says, I'm lower than a worm in stool, it's a manifestation of ecstasy. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita says that humility is the jewel of love of Krishna. So when you achieve prema, you start feeling like you're lower than a worm in stool, right? But it's a very blissful feeling, isn't it? It's something, and you're all sitting there going, how do you feel blissful thinking you're lower than a worm in stool? Now, a lot of us have learned empathic listening, right? So somebody says, I feel lower than a worm in stool, and you think, oh. So you want to be empathic. Oh, that must feel really horrible. That must feel really smelly and yucky. How are we supposed to understand this is ecstasy? Right? So, and then Prabhupada is talking about separation from the guru as intensifying remembrance and sweeter and so forth. And in 1977, we would read these letters or purports and we'd say, no. This is not ecstasy. This is misery. I don't think anyone was in ecstasy in November, the late part of November of 1977, for many years after. We were all misery, right? Weren't we? Still are, to some degree, right? Intense misery. I was so miserable that one crazy thought came to my mind is, I wish I had never met Prabhupada. That way I wouldn't be feeling his separation now and be in this misery. It was so unbearable. But I think one of the things that we realized over the years is that through service to Prabhupada, through making the sacrifices and serving his mission, we become closer to him than even when he was here. And there is a special sweetness. Now, what's also interesting is that Prabhupada, as was said in the other classes, he always felt his spiritual master's presence. So, Divyanga said, tell stories. Okay, so I'll tell you a story. Maybe I've told this story before, but when Prabhupada came to San Francisco in 1970 for the Rath Yatra, most of the movement was there, which meant like 300 devotees. That was like most of the movement in 1970. Because there were only 17 temples. An average temple had what? 10 devotees? If you take the big and little temples, 12 devotees? 15 devotees? All right. So, you know. And a few congregations. So maybe there were 300 people, and most of them were at that Rath Yatra, a lot of them. So when Prabhupada came there, all the brahmacharis were in the temple room. And every brahmachari had a freshly ironed, well, maybe it was a fresh polyester dhoti, so there are no wrinkles. And those polyester dhotis were very bright because they didn't fade. They were already dyed. And everybody had shaved head and sika, as was the custom in those days amongst the brahmacharis. So Prabhupada came and he saw probably the largest assembly of brahmacharis that he'd ever seen in ISKCON. And he just stood there at the door. He didn't come in. He just stood there smiling, you know, for like a minute. And later, we heard that Prabhupada said, when he saw all the devotees, he called for his spiritual master to come and see. So you might think, did Prabhupada really say that? How do we know that? But the interesting thing is, when Prabhupada came in the temple, he sat down and he chanted the Guru Vashtaka to his spiritual master. So he was meditating on his spiritual master and meditating on the mission. So the point is, Prabhupada felt his spiritual master always with him. Now, what becomes interesting is Prabhupada wrote a Viraha Ashtakam of separation from his guru, of the pain of separation. And in that Viraha Ashtakam, the Ashtakam, the eight verses of separation, he was describing the glories of the Gaudiya Math in the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and how everything fell apart. Not everything, but many things fell apart and the preaching diminished and so forth after his disappearance. And Prabhupada was feeling this intense separation from his Guru Maharaj. Who will rectify the situation? So it seems there's the pain of separation and the bliss of being with one spiritual master. They interweave simultaneously. They exist at the same time. So in a sense, the pain is real, but the pain is blissful. I'm feeling lower. I'm feeling like a worm in stool. I'm feeling lowly. Everyone's better than me. Excites all kinds of ecstatic emotions. So then the question, natural question devotees ask is, how can I feel separation from Krishna because I never met him? Or at least if I did, I don't remember that I did. How can you feel separation from him? I think a better question is how we can feel separation without loving Krishna. But at the same time, well, I'll tell a story because I think it answers this question. And I'm also trying to answer the question of if Krishna's in Vrindavan, how do devotees feel separation if he never left? Because that question came up and we didn't have time to really answer it, did we? But I want to tell another story because it's an interesting story and it shows a little bit about transcendental emotion, even on the stage of Bhajana Kriya or in Narthana Vritti. I may have told this story before. It's one of the most amazing stories and experiences I've ever had. When we installed deities in Mauritius in 1983, and we installed them in a rented house with the intention that we would purchase that house. But we were unaware that the owner would be asking more than we thought. It used to be an embassy. It was like a 20-room house. Let's call it a house. They called it the White House. So it was, everybody knows, oh, the White House. You know, it's like famous. It was a huge, huge place. And we had some land and gardens. So, but because it was so expensive, the devotees decided we could buy land and we could build a temple. That would be smarter. So they went and bought 5 acres of land. And they were going to build a temple. In the meantime, there was no place for the deities. So there was another temple on the other side of the island. And so the deities went there, and then on this side of the island, there were two sides, the east and west. So the west side didn't have their deities. The deities went to the east side. And then the west side went to build their temple, and then they would bring the deities back. So they thought they would build a temple, like, you know, in a year or two. Just build something. We have the land. So you know how that goes. That year or two turned into 9 or 8 years. So I was there when the deities were installed. I left, and then I came back to bring the deities back. I ended up being the temple president by default. And then one of my services was to help get this project built and then bring the deities back. So by Janmashtami of 1992, we had a building and an altar. And we called up the devotees, and we said, Now we're ready. This is Radha Krishna deities, like full size. We're ready for the deities to come back. What do you think they said? Yeah, they said no. We said, what do you mean no? There are deities. They said, well, we've had them for 8 years and we're not letting them go. And it was the most amazing, like, 2 weeks of my life, because the feelings of attachment on both sides were intensifying. But especially on the east side, they were going to lose the deities. And so their feelings, they were starting to experience separation, because one form of separation is that you're there with Krishna, but you know he's going to leave. So, and it's said that that's why Krishna said, I couldn't go back to Vrindavan, because then they'd be more in separation, thinking, am I going to leave again? So the devotees were actually going through this very intense separation, and they refused to let the deities go. And then they made an excuse. It said, well, you have to have all these things together in your pujari room and on the altar, and you don't have it, so we're not going to let the deities go. And we called them up and they said, we have it. And so the president came and he inspected everything. And it was like going on like this, back and forth. No, you're not coming. He's not coming. We're not letting him come. You're not qualified. You don't have enough Brahmins. Your deity room's not ready. Anyway, finally they came, Janmashtami 1992. And it was, the devotees were experiencing intense feelings of separation from those deities. Were they on the level of prema? Of course not. Were they on the level of bhava? No. Were they on the level of asakti? No. Were anyone on the level of ruchi? I doubt it. Maybe anartha nivritti at that point in time. But look what they're experiencing. So I think that also deals with Prabhupada's dual definition, that sometimes we experience separation even when we don't have love. Now there's another nice example of this, which I use and in my own japa, and I teach this. And Satchidananda Swami also teaches this. How we can feel separation. How can I feel separation from Krishna? Well, here Prabhupada says. This is a lecture 1969. No, that's not it. Hold on. Yeah, that's it. So we are addressing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, O energy of the Lord, O the Lord, please accept me. That's all. Please accept me. We have no other prayer. Please accept me. Lord Chaitanya taught we should simply cry and we shall pray for accepting us. That's all. So this vibration is simply a cry for addressing the Supreme Lord, requesting him, please accept me, please accept me. So Satchidananda Swami has this phrase, we are repairing our broken relationship with Krishna. And then he uses this as an example. So it's a kind of separation. Yes, now I'm separated. This is not separation of ecstasy. It's just separation. I'm in the material world. I'm separated from Krishna. I turn my back on him. Right? Bahir Mukha. I turn my back on Krishna and now I'm separated. And I'm praying, Krishna, please accept me. And I feel this separation. Not like Radharani feels it, but I'm feeling something. So, can we feel some separation? Yes. We can, in this sense. And again, Prabhupada acknowledged that we feel separation from the Guru. These are real, genuine feelings of separation. And they're good, and it intensifies our meditation. It intensifies our affection. So we have to answer the question, and then we'll take some questions and comments. Krishna, the gopis in Vrindavan. If it, in one description, after Krishna left Mathura, Nanda Maharaj went back alone, right? But there's another description that Krishna and Balaram went back with him in Apricot Leela. Okay. So Krishna and Balaram went back from Mathura to Vrindavan in Apricot Leela, unmanifested. And so the question Janmasthami was asking, well, if Krishna's back there, how can there be separation? How can you feel separation if he's there? But because separation intensifies affection and love, therefore, by the agency of Yogamaya, even in the Prakat Leela, there's separation. So what to speak about Prakat, right? So what's the separation? You're with Krishna and you think he's going to leave. What's the other separation? you're separated and you're going to meet, right? Or you're just separated. Is it, you know, there's one other, I forget, one more form. So, but these things all nurture. So whether it's prakat or apricot, it nurtures, right? It's just part of what nurtures bhakti. So that's, separation is an essential element. It's more intensified love. So can we feel that kind of separation? Well, there's a nice thing Janmashtami and I were discussing. What's it called? Ajata, Ruchi, Raghunuga Bhakti. And Ajata, Ruchi, Raghunuga Bhakti is very interesting. It's a little bit like this, oh Krishna, please accept me. I'm feeling separated, but I'm not feeling intense feelings of separation. So Jiva Goswami says that devotees on the path of Krishna consciousness, on the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, before they're actually feeling these emotions, ajata, the taste is unborn, they could desire it or imagine it. Or one example is, I don't even know what my relationship is with Krishna, but I know I have one. And I know I have a place in Braja, but I don't know what it is. But I can think at least I have a place. That's ajata ruchi. Or another example is when you're taking prasadam, you could be thinking about the cowherd boys, how they take prasadam, and the exchanges they're going through. So it's kind of like you're trying to feel it on a stage removed from Raghunuga Bhakti. You don't have it, but you kind of have it. You want it. Yeah. So I want separation. And I kind of feel something. I mean, I'm here in this world. I'm separated from Krishna. I can feel some pain of separation. Maybe not the ecstasy, but I think a lot of us as devotees, when we're not getting the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, we feel the pain of separation from it. We want it. We hanker for it. So I think it's good. We can hanker. Something like that. Anyway. That's my understanding, that, you know, separation is an essential ingredient for rasa. And Krishna's churning rasa, so he always separates. Oh, there's a nice, I'll end with a nice story. So do young, you want stories. So you may know this story, but it's funny, we'll tell it again. So Krishna's with the cowherd boys, and he says, Subha, I can't exist without Radharani. Get her, I have to see her. So, you know, separation's always there, right? Krishna's playing with the cowherd boys, and separation's there. And then Krishna goes out, and Mother Yasoda gets him ready, and she can't let him go. And he said, Mata, I have to go. And she straightened his clothes. Let me go. No, let me get you something else to eat. She can't let him go, because that feeling of separation, it's intense. But then she goes, and what's happening? She's thinking of him, right? So the separation, it's always there. And when you think of this pastime, Mother Yasoda, you know, like we say, Krishna went out to herd the cows, and everybody went, their hearts went with him. So the separation is always going on in Vrindavan. But Prabhupada said there's no love in the material world. They go, but my mother loved me, and there's so much affection. What is does anyone love, like Yasoda love Krishna? There's no, that doesn't exist. It's just, you know, when we're like 12 years old, our parents are like, you want to go to camp for the summer? They just want to get rid of us, you know? And you get them in the car, you take them there, they finally get dropped off, everything's okay, give them a big hug, and you drive back, and you're like, whew, I got some free time for the next month, right? That's love in this world, isn't it? Or when your kids are 5, they finally go to school, after 5 years, you have some time for yourself. Mother Yasoda, she can't tolerate a moment's absence from Krishna. That's love. So when Prabhupada says there's no love, that's what he means, right? So that separation is just nourishing everything. But anyway, so Subal says, Krishna says, you have to get Radharani. So Krishna's feeling this intense separation from Radharani in the middle of playing with the cowherd boys, right? So just to tell the story, because it's funny. So Subala goes back, and Subala goes back, and he tells Radharani, he's like, what to do, you know? Radharani's They're not, my parents aren't going to let me go. My grandparents aren't going to, my mother-in-law's not going to, nobody's going to let me go. I said, what to do? I said, well, we look like one another. So I'll dress up like you, and you dress up like me. So then you'll stay here, and then I'll go. So then Radharani dresses up as Subal, and she starts walking out of the house, and all the relatives are just like, Subal, what's going on here? She says, oh, I lost my calf. I'm looking for my calf. I don't know where my calf is. And so they ran and got a calf and gave Radharani calf as Subal, and she walks out carrying the calf. So she comes, and she plays a trick on Krishna. And she says, Krishna, there's no way Radha could get out of the house. There's all the elders were there. But if you like, I can bring Chandravali. And Krishna says, when you want milk, curd cannot satisfy you. And then she reveals herself as Radharani. So there's always separation in the pastimes of Krishna. It nurtures rasa. So prakat, aprakat, the gopis are feeling this intense pain, but we always have to see it's just ecstasy. Because that's all. Krishna would not do anything other than increase the ecstasy of his devotees. So anyway, I'll end here if there's any comments or questions. Yes. Jamastami?
That was, this Viraha Astaka that you mentioned. It kind of confirmed my understanding, of how we can intensify intensify our love for Prabhupada, and that's to, if we can identify a shortcoming in our movement, something that he would be dissatisfied, and we really put energy into rectifying it. It's like, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I discovered this when book distribution fell apart in America, and I started to try and get it going again, and it was like amazing, the level of reciprocation that took place with that. And, it's something that is kind of like it's a principle, of relationship with Prabhupada, and I had never seen this Viraha Astaka, but, that's what he did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He saw the problem, and I was giving a workshop, and we came up with this idea, wherever there's a problem, there's a service for you. Because you noticed it. In the material world, they say, in the Vaishya world, they say, wherever there's a problem, there's a $1 million business if you solve the problem.
Sometimes the tendency will be, you see a fault, and then rather than trying to do something about it, you become disenchanted and, maybe distance yourself from Prabhupada,
exactly.
Distance yourself from the movement,
yeah.
Play the blame game or whatever. Whereas it's, as you say, it's a huge opportunity for going deeper in the relationship with Prabhupada.
It's true. And usually you see problems that are connected with something that you're interested in solving or that bothers you that it's not happening properly. So it's such a good opportunity for service.
Say that last thing again.
Usually we see problems that are of concern personally to us, which means that that's like a perfect service for us. Like your concern that book distribution was not successful because you're a book distributor. So that's why you're concerned, because it's a natural service for you. So wherever there's a problem that you notice, there's a service. And Mother Teresa said, what's the problem in the world? She said, the problem of the world is I'm a sinner. So, what's the problem of this guy? The problem of this guy is I'm not solving the problems, or I'm not a pure devotee. Lakshmi Mani?
Jatipur is. Jatipur is a town where Govardhan, where the deity was installed on top of Govardhan Hill. And the deity was taken and brought to Nathdwara 200 years ago. And at that time, there was a contract signed, a legal contract signed, that after 200 years, the deity was leased, and then in 200 years, if it was safe, the deities would move back to Jatipur. So 200 years was up, and I just happened to go to Govardhan around that time, and there were guards all over the place and traffic everywhere. I was left asking everybody what's going on. And what I was told was that the Vijayavigraha, the little deities of Nathdwara, had come to negotiate, because obviously Nathdwara, they weren't going to give up Srinathji. And so, but the people in Nathdwara were afraid that someone was going to steal the little deities, the Vijayavigraha. So that deity went with an escort that was twice as intense as the escort that the president or the prime minister of India gets when he goes somewhere. They had so many bodyguards and so many all night. And then in the middle of the night, they put him and they took him back. So still, it's in the court, still negotiating for bringing that deity back to Jatapur.
Jai. You know, also, you just reminded me of that, you know, that story when Prabhupada wanted to do Govardhan Parikrama, and there was this big debate whether he should go, and then finally, I think it was Kirtanananda Maharaj, who said, Prabhupada, we don't want you to go, and he just broke down, and you're putting, and I, well, maybe it was Tumakrishna, said, you're putting in so much anxiety, and Prabhupada said, then I won't, I don't want to put you in anxiety, and he said, but, you know, so much affection is coming out from our heart, and Prabhupada said, yeah, that's my duty. To bring that affection. So that's what Krishna consciousness is all about. It's about, you know, so any situation that nourishes affection and emotion, well, that's what we want. You know? And I was talking with Vaisheshika, and, you know, there was a lot of discussion about Guru and ISKCON, and there were some papers out, and Vaisheshika said, well, what do you think about this paper? And I said, well, my experience is that in my service as guru, I just try to encourage devotees and establish relationship and affection. And I said, I think that's the most important thing. And he said, yes, I agree. That's my experience also. So emotion, affection, really, that's what it's all about. Why did we surrender to Prabhupada? It's affection. And he was expert at pulling on those heartstrings. Just by what, everything he did, all the compliments he gave us, how we appreciated our service. So that's, I think it's very important, you know, that we, if we can nourish emotion, like if I appreciate another devotee, a devotee appreciates me, it nourishes emotion and affection. And we become inspired. Yes. Yes. Now we're going to get some prasad from the guru.
Lord Chaitanya's whole mission is like separation. You know, I was looking at a picture over there and on the wall, and his whole mood is separation, but he came to preach. His whole thing is kirtan, preaching. So when you were saying that you found this book and Prabhupada was translating or interpreting their ecstasy as preaching, you could see that Lord Chaitanya's whole mission is preaching. He's always in separation. He came here with the his mood was to experience separation, or the love Radharani had for Krishna. So, I mean, in one sense, Prabhupada has given us the highest, you know, we just have to kind of read these books and understand, and have people like you interpret.
And that mood comes out. All right, since you mentioned kirtan, here's a quote from Mahendra. For better or for worse. You have to judge, but I like it. As practicing devotees, it's powerful to chant nama japa in the mood of separation, especially a type of separation called purvaraga, which means the intense desperate anticipation to meet Radha and Krishna. The idea is that you meditate on the types of services that you would like to do for Radha and Krishna and pray, when oh when will that day be mine? So that's kind of a jataruchi, you know, like this is, I mean, he's an advanced devotee, but I would like to, I'm, you know, be in this position so we can chant and pray someday, maybe. When will that day come?
And one other thing is, I was thinking in separation, sometime when the person is right there, they probably might not accept the service, you know. But when in separation, you can do so much, you know, more service. Yeah. I was thinking when Sita was in the forest, you know, she was, I think Valmiki told her one time, just at one point, Just think of Krishna, Ram, and he'll be right there. She was grieving that he was served, feeling separation from her. And he said, if you think of him and you're happy, then it'll be good for your pregnancy and it'll be good, you know, feeling. And then when she started doing that, she would offer everything, and she found she could do more service that way. You know, so if he was right there, Ram would not accept the service all the time.
Right.
So when he wasn't there, she could do so much more. She was chanting, she was doing so much more, chanting his names and everything. Mm. So it seemed like separation, you can do more things.
That's true. And you reminded me of something Prabhupada said. When devotees wrote to Prabhupada about separation, he said, in the name you have the guna, the qualities of Krishna, and you have the rupa, the form, and you have the lila. And wherever there's the lila of Krishna, there's all the devotees. So when you chant the name, all the devotees are there. So Prabhupada said, and I'm there, and we're all together when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Because where there's lila, there's devotees. So in that way, we're also associating. Yes, somebody else had something? Trivikram has something.
And Krishna says, I'll be back shortly.
What?
He told a residence of Raja, I'll be back
shortly.
I'll
be back, yeah.
Right?
Just now coming.
Yeah. Do you know that it was 100 years later they would meet back? I think they met maybe at Kurukshetra or somewhere once or something. But it was 100 years later. But also I was thinking, because of the relativity of time, the way Krishna experienced time or the way Radha experienced time is different from us, you know. 100 years is just like a moment.
But that 100 years was sweet. That's the point. It was sweet, and that's why Krishna did it. Because Krishna only does things that are sweet. Yes? It was 100 years of sweetness. Yes. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. It can't, you see, when we see pain and separation, we're thinking of it like we would in the modes of nature, but this is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. So, it's always blissful. Yes.
I was just remembering how Prabhupada apparently also increased the separation, the feeling of separation in his devotees, that there were occasions where Prabhupada said he would come to a temple, and the devotees said that all these preparations and big kirtan to receive him, and then something happened. Hmm. The plane got cancelled or so, and
yeah,
he didn't come. And I think then the devotees were like mad and did amazing kirtans just in
separation.
It's
true. The second time I saw Prabhupada, he was coming to Rath Yatra, and I couldn't sleep all night. Just so you know, there are emotions that, and you see on Prabhupada's appearance day, there's so much emotion for Prabhupada comes out. There's so many tears, and you know, it's real, and it's wonderful. We need it, right? It's bhakti. It's all about that. Okay. We can end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.